Welcome to Amazon Legends, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became power sellers. Also providers specializing in helping sellers, aggregators that acquire sellers, and former Amazonians will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here is your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. My next guest today is, this is not a joke. This guy is trained as a rocket scientist. So, you know, as they say, you know, you have to be a rocket scientist to run an Amazon operation. Well, you're a rocket scientist here. So he was trained as a rocket scientist. He's a world citizen, born in Naples, Italy, grew up in Venezuela, then lived in the US and Canada, and currently is in London, England. And like I said, trained as an aerospace engineer. So he was trained to design rockets, then became a seller, selling products on Amazon, because his family apparently is full of entrepreneurs and they brainwashed him growing up as a kid. You know, what are you doing? What is this rocket science?
That's thing? Right. Yeah.
And forced him into get into business. So today he's the CEO and founder of Ecomsicom, which is a full service Amazon and Walmart agency. And when he's not working, which is very rare, he loves pedal tennis.
Yeah, that's right.
Latin dancing.
Yeah.
And also he plays in the national team for paintball.
Yeah.
So, with that, everybody, meet my guest, Vincenzo Toscano. Welcome
thank
to the show,
you.
Vincenzo.
Thank you, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to make a funny joke about, you know, the rocket science things. This is something sometimes people ask me, do you actually leverage this when you're pitching a client and to basically showcase your skill? And I always say, yes, the line I use with my clients is like, if I can get a rocket on the moon, of course I can get your product in the first page. So that's usually the line I use.
That's true. Is that on your website, by the way?
In what sense?
As like your tagline.
Yeah. No, that's something we are not using at the moment. I use it like more informally with clients. But to be honest, I've been thinking like I should use the experience I have as an aerospace engineer as branding, but I haven't exploited that yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, put it right on the, we are a bunch of rocket scientists masquerading around as Amazon agency.
I bet that's going to add a ton of trust to people, yeah.
And then put your degree here.
Yeah, yeah. 4.0 GPA, everything, all my things, yeah.
Okay. So since you are a man with a lot of intelligence and skills and capability to get into a lot of complex stuff, I thought that we dig into something that is underutilized.
Yeah.
It's a fairly recent addition to Seller Central by Amazon, but it's a tremendous amount of wealth that it can deliver. And as yet, it's fairly underutilized. Most sellers don't even know that it exists, except that it's one of the most important things. So that's the search query performance.
Yeah.
So what we are going to do in this episode is pretty much dissect search query performance in a way that what is there and what purpose can you use it for? And when you're using it, what are you watching? What data points are you watching? And how are you watching them? Because, you know, there's a way to watch data. And then most important, what do you do with it? What are the actions that you take? So that's what we're going to do. So with that, let's dive right into it. So first, tell us where to get this search query performance. How can you access it?
Yeah, so the first thing that's super important for everybody listening and watching this episode is that the Amazon Search Query Performance Report, you need to have brand register in your Amazon account, okay? So you need to basically register your brand with Amazon. And once you get your brand approved, you get access to basically the brand analytics, which is going to be under your brand tab. And there, basically, you're going to get access to what we call the Amazon Search Query Performance Report. So that's the first thing you must do. Like, if you don't have a trademark and you basically don't have the brand registered with Amazon, you're not going to get access to this. This is basically a feature that Amazon has enabled for brand owners to leverage basically the data that Amazon provides them to scale their business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So there are some things here that I want to clarify because, you know, as you said, this is not necessarily right in your face. So you need to be brand registered. But when you become brand registered, in your menu, it says brands, right? That's all it says. Yeah. It says brands. And that's when you select brands, it puts you on a page. And if you click on it, it also opens a menu and then you can select. But if you select a homepage, which is called Brand Analytics, then it will land you on a page. And Search Query Performance does not appear anywhere, right?
Yeah, that's
it does
right.
not say Search Query Performance. That's the first thing I want to point out. So it will take you a while to figure out where is the Search Query Performance, except that when you start poking around, you're going to realize you were on Search Query Performance because it puts you there by default, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's actually a very good point, because once you click on brands, for everybody listening and watching, you're going to find a button said Brand Analytics, like Nick is saying. Once you click on there, you're going to see three options at the top. You're going to see one that says Brand Analytics, then an arrow, one that says Customer Loyalty Analytics, which, by the way, this is very good tab as well, which, again, we're not going to go too much in depth on this episode because the focus is the Search Query Performance one. But this one gives you a very in-depth analytics about what is going on with your brand in terms of the customer repeat purchase rate, and also what is happening in terms of the segmentation of your brand and your products. So that's one tab you're going to see. Then you're going to move into the next one, which is called Search Analytics. In Search Analytics, you're going to have Search Catalog Performance, which this gives you all the performance of your catalog as a brand. Here you can filter by basically your brand and your ASINs. And then you have, if you and second position, one called the Search Query Performance Report. Once you click in there, you're going to be able to see that this allows you to filter also in two versions, right? You can filter the brand view. So basically, this gives you all the different keywords that are relevant for your specific brand. And then you can also filter at the ASIN level. So if you want to specialize on specific ASIN within your brand, you just select the ASIN. And then you also can select the range, which, again, we're going to talk more down the line in the episode, how this can be very useful to look at historical data and make decisions in terms of your listing, PPC, and so on. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know why they did it that way, but when you click Brand Analytics Home, it puts you on Search Query Performance. But right there on that page, as you walk through, there is a sub menu right at the top. It's like the middle of the page is a navigation bar. And when you click that, it opens up three options.
Yes.
And the second one is Search Query Performance.
I know. It's not very clear, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they did it that way, but Search Query Performance is the one that you land on. I mean, you don't have to look for it. Just go to Brand Analytics.
Yeah. That's the easiest.
That will put you on that Search Query Performance. But if you ever get lost or click on, because you can. Okay. Let's also do this.
So I mean, there are options, which I want to point out, so it can be easier for people. If you are struggling, just use the search bar, because I will explain this to a client. Just go to the search bar and put Search Query Performance. It's going to open a tab on the right-hand side of the screen. It's going to give you the direct link. You click in there, and it brings you to the dashboard straight away. That's also
working. So now, when you are on the Search Query Performance page, by default, it will put you on the brand view, and then you also can see ASIN view. If you go to ASIN view, it's not going to show you anything until you select an ASIN, right?
I know.
So you have to click and then select the ASIN. The other thing is, by default, when you land on the page, on the brand view version, it will put you on the last weeks by default.
Yeah,
you can select and go back, you know, multiple weeks, But these are, again, don't be confused for, in America, they don't use week numbers. So for those, a little tip, if you use Microsoft Outlook and you go to Outlook, you've got to be in the month mode in your calendar page. Then you will see the week numbers. So believe it or not, there are 52 weeks in a year. Every week is a number. And that's what Amazon goes by. So, and you can see also the date, start date and end date of the week. So it will put you on the week number, the last week reported, or you can select it to month, and then you'll have to select whatever month it is that you're looking to see. Now, but that it doesn't end there, right? Because on the left-hand side of the report, down the side, you got all the keywords.
Yes, which is the juice.
Yeah, you can click on them, right?
Yeah,
you can click on them, and then it puts you on another page.
That's
so
correct.
We're going to cover all that. So tell us, what are we seeing in search query performance?
Yeah, so the first thing, when you open the search query performance, as you're saying, Nick, you're going to have the two options. So usually the one I find the most useful, of course, is the async level, because most of the time when you're doing strategy, you're going to do at the async level rather than the brand level. The brand view, I would say, is more important when you're looking to captivate and understand what is happening with your brand name and how you, the keywords related to your brand are being affected on, at the high level. But then the best way to really go in depth in terms of the search query performance, I would focus on the specific async that you want to focus on. Like, just go there and basically select a specific async that you want to analyze. And once you open the data, it's going to open the whole table in terms of the historical data. Okay. So now, what do I recommend? Because the thing is, when you do have a look at basically the search query performance report, you're going to have the possibility to do different ranges, right? So you're going to have the option to do quarterly, you're going to have the option to do it monthly and weekly. So usually the recommendation is, if you're doing, for example, PPC optimization, right? You're doing changes on your PPC and so on, usually you want to adapt the reporting range to what is your frequency of optimization, right? If you do, for example, optimization on a weekly basis, it wouldn't make sense that you look at data on a monthly or quarterly basis, because you could be over optimizing on things that you already took action in the past. So it's very important that you're mindful of the reporting range, because you might end up taking decisions if you don't select the right range on data that might not be relevant for you. So that's the first thing, adapt that to whatever is your task. So I'm going to split this into different scenarios, right? Let's say you want to do a PPC. Usually I recommend you do that on a weekly and monthly basis. But let's say I want to do more strategy at the listing level and I want more quantitative amount of data, then I would do quarterly, because then I want to have more representation of data in a more substantial basis to make a change on my listing. Okay. Now I'm going to break down what you're going to see on the table. Of course, it might be a little bit confusing if you're not watching the table. So what I would recommend you to do when you're listening and watching this episode, make sure you open your brand analytics in front of you. So for whatever I'm basically explaining, it makes sense and you can connect with that. So on the brand analytics, and once you are within the search query performance report at the async level, once you select an async, you're going to see four main funnels. You're going to see the impressions, you're going to see the clicks funnels, the car ads, and then you're going to see the purchases. So these are basically the four main funnels where the customer transition, right? You're first going to have the impression, which is a customer basically seeing the product in the first place. Click when somebody basically click over that impression after seeing it. As your car, if the client adds that to basically the product to the car, and finally the purchase. The reason why Amazon break down this from Edusel, first of all, is because in terms of strategy, this is super important to understand how your product is behaving throughout the whole funnel. Because just to give you a quick example, right? For example, with the search query performance and analyzing all your funnel, if you identify that, for example, right? Well, let's say your async share, right? That the async share basically shows you what is your share at that specific keyword and how you're behaving overall. If you see that the async share basically starts from a very low number and impression, and then start increasing. Like you start, let's say, with a 6% in impressions, right? Then the clicks becomes 30%. then the a car to us becomes 35 and then purchase 40. That means actually your issue is not a conversion issue, it's a traffic issue, because with a very amount of async share impressions, that means you're not getting a lot of impression on that keyword. The little amount of traffic you're getting as you move up and down in the funnel, actually your conversion rate is going up. So that already is a signal for you or your team to say, okay, the issue we're having on this keyword is not conversion, it's actually traffic. We're not pumping enough traffic because we don't have enough async share. And then what you want to do is increase your async share, because as you increase your async share, if the funnel is telling you that as you go down the funnel, you're actually converting better, then that means you actually can easily increase sales just by improving that keyword alone. So that's a quick scenario I'm giving you right there. Now, I want to make a quick pause just in case, Nick, you want to say something before I continue. Any questions about that?
I have plenty. So, yeah. Okay. So first of all, what you are seeing in the report is keyword by keyword.
That's right.
So yeah. For every keyword, how many total impressions exist?
Yeah.
Based on how many times people are searching that keyword,
yeah,
during that time frame that you selected for the report, whether it's the week or the month or whatever.
That's correct.
And if you've done a brand view overall, if you've done ASIN view on that particular listing that you selected, how many searches there are, and based on those, how many searches, how many total impressions there are. And what's important there is, what is your share of the impressions Amazon decided to send you your way? This, by the way, is total, right? It's not paid or organic. It's everything included.
Everything included. Yeah. The only thing is not included in the impressions here is things such as top rated, highly rated, these kind of widgets that you see around. But other than that, organic and sponsor is all included. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So altogether, so that's your universe of potential that you can realize. So what is the ideal? Ideal is dominate 100% of the impressions come to you. And then that means that 100% click through. That means 100% of those impressions, people click and then they land on the page and 100% of them buy. But that's not going to happen. So therefore things start to break down. So the starting point, the top of the funnel is, what is your share of the impressions?
That's correct. Yeah.
And
this is very important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it tells you how much you're dominating that queue. At the end of the day, if you have a low async share, that means you need to do something in terms of either improving your organic ranking or blast more PPC, because the lower it is, the less traffic you're getting, pretty much. Yeah.
So that's my first question. How low is considered low? And how high is considered high?
Yeah, so when it comes to async share, I mean, I will say something that is low is something between 5 and 10%, I will say is low. It also depends on how competitive the keyword is, right? Because if you go to vitamin C, there's not a single async that has more than 15%, because there is just so much spread of impressions because how competitive they are in pricing. So be mindful of that. I mean, don't expect to be owning 100% or with a high percentage. I would say a healthy percentage of async share, if you really like doing a good job and you get a very good positioning, should be between the 20 and 30% mark. Like if you already have a 20, 30% mark of a whole keyword, that's huge, right? Ideally, the higher of that, the better. But I would say as long as you land between 20 and 30%, that's something that means you're doing a very good job. As soon as you start going under 10%, that means you're struggling. You're not getting enough eyeballs on that keyword. So aim, I would say 20, 30% is where we aim at least, yeah, in terms of ASIN share.
Can you see anywhere, not necessarily which ASIN, but what is the top share of that impression?
Yeah, so for example, if you click on that specific keyword, let's say you find a keyword there that you find interesting. Basically, what you can do, once you click on that specific keyword, is going to open a new window, right? And this window basically is going to break down the analysis on that specific keyword level. So it's going to, whatever is the keyword that you click, right? It's going to give you the query metrics at the keyword level. It's going to tell you on that specific period, like, for example, what were the query volume, the total clicks, click rate, total impressions. And these already give you an understanding of that keyword in that specific market. And then what allows you to do as well is like it also compares your specific async. It gives you the async metrics against that keyword. So it tells you, for example, that keyword, you have X amount of impressions, X amount of impression share, and so on. After that happens, at the bottom of that initial two squares you're going to see on the search query details, it also breaks down other ASINs that basically they has from the highest to the lowest impression share, right? So basically, just to make it easy, you're going to have a search query performance. You click on the keyword. That keyword is going to open the search query details. It's going to break down the query metrics of the whole keyword. It's going to break the metrics of your ASINs on that keyword, right? The ASIN that you selected in the search query performance to open this other window. And it's going to give you a list, which this is the beauty of this list. It goes back to your question, like how is too low, how much is too high? Because if you click on the keyword and you see that the highest keyword has, I don't know, 10%, then if the bestseller has 10%, how are you actually thinking that you are going to be able to do 20, 30, right? And that's the beauty of this report. It breaks you down and tells you how good you are doing against the competition. Because, for example, if you see that the top seller is doing 10%, but you're doing 1%, I mean, now the even if 10% is not big, but when you make the ratio between 1 and 10%, you see far off. So now in this case, you should be aiming, let's say, for example, for a 5, 6%, right? So that's usually how you make the decision making. You need to understand what is the medium at the keyword level. And basically decide from that. Yeah.
Okay. So now you have seen what your share is and you can get an idea of how good you are. And then you can then set your own trigger point.
Yeah.
So to speak, based on how the rest of the ASINs are performing to consider yourself too low or good enough, don't do anything. If it's too low, then you have to do something. Okay.
That's correct.
The next part is the click-through rate, right? So
that's right.
Impression means that people have seen your listing. They haven't done anything. Yeah. They've just seen it. So now that's the right. Next thing they have to do is you want them to click on it. So that's the click-through rate. So tell us about click-through rate in terms of what is a good number to aim for, and how can you see others?
Yeah. So when it comes to the click-through rate, you're going to do exactly the same exercise. It just announced instead of focusing on, in this case, on the impression column, you're going to focus on the clicks column. And usually, again, there isn't also a good or bad number because, I mean, it's going to depend on the market. The reason why I usually prefer you guys go inside Brand Analytics and define this number is because if I say right now, let's say 15-20%, right, industry standards, and then you go and see, oh, my click share is actually 2%, you're going to get depressed and think that maybe is your product not working or on the market. And actually, when you go and see your market, you realize the median of your market is 5%. So that's why I do exactly the same exercise. Find the keyword that you know is a must, because you can find this by other tools, by finding the volume of sales. Then you go to Brand Analytics, focus on that specific keyword at your ASIN level, click on that keyword. That's going to open the top 10 ASINs on that specific keyword that Amazon is giving you that data. So that's the most accurate data you're ever going to have. And then from that, you can say, okay, Amazon is telling me that, you know, the medium, like from the bestseller, a click share is 7%. So that means realistically, when I'm getting started, if I already have 3-4%, is something within the standards. And that's usually how you adjust, because something that we do internally within the agency, and we monitor this. And by the way, all these reports I'm mentioning, guys, you can download it now. So you can download these reports. And what we do internally, we have our macros, and we basically create a history of all this data. And now you have tools that allow you to consolidate this data as one. So what you can do is you can keep historical data how the click share changes on your specific niche. Let's say your the top competitors, right, is having a click share average of 8%, and you are struggling and you're still landing at around 4-5%. That means most likely we need to do split testing with the main image, with the listing, and to play with pricing, also something to do with the placement, because you have to consider the click share is considered across the whole page. It might be that you're not getting enough click share because your product is at the bottom of the page on that keyword, and it's considered the impression, because remember this on Amazon, even if the person doesn't see the product on the screen, by it's loading, it's considered as an impression. But if they're not clicking, basically, it might be that it's just because you are at the bottom of the page. So consider that, right? So that's also a way for you internally to make a strategic decisions that, okay, I need to improve my organic ranking. I need to split test my pricing and all of that, until you do this weekly by weekly by weekly, downloading this report, and you will start matching that click, that basically a click share and conversion that your top competitors are having. And that's it. Yeah.
Okay. So there is quite a bit here. By the way, this is all homework for sellers, yeah, right? Because you're just looking at the data on the screen for your selected range is not going to do you anything. You need to download that data, and then you need to have a place to process it and then look at it keyword by keyword over time to see how your numbers are progressing, getting better or getting worse. So, I mean, that's the reality of it. This report is not available through the API yet either, as we record this. So this is a manual job that you have to do, but it will pay off big time. So we're just walking through the things that you can do. So click through. So improving click through comes down to what? Tell us what impacts click through.
Yeah, something that we see impacting a lot the click through and the clicking share is pricing and the main image. Those are always the main drivers. So something that we always do, for example, we want to position a product on a keyword, we always need to make sure, and this is a must because we have identified that this is very important to get your rank organically, that you have to match or overpass the top sellers on that keyword. Because if you don't, Amazon will think like, why should I put your product on page one where the average on page one is 10% and you're performing at 3%? So you need somehow to fabricate this 10%. The way you go very aggressive with pricing for a period of time, we split test images and things like that. Of course, something that's been working very well for us, but this is going to depend on your budget, is like when we want to go very aggressive on a keyword, we target that keyword as an exact match, top placement on that keyword, and then we go with a 40% coupon. We make it basically an irresistible offer. And what is going to happen is that it's going to spike your click share, and it's going to spike your click-through rate. That on Amazon eyes, if you keep doing this over a period of at least 2 weeks, it's going to say, okay, this product actually is converting very well against the median of the market. And you're going to see how over time that's going to significantly improve what we call the organic rank. And you can also track this with the search query performance. Like you can do a report 1 week before putting the aggressive pricing, 1 week after, and you're going to see most of the time you put a coupon aggressive as that, you're going to see a significant increase on the impression share and click share, which at the end of the day, that's, we know it's a big factor to Amazon decide if you're going to be on page one or not. So that's usually pricing and main image, I would say. Yeah.
So how about reviews?
So reviews, we have found that it reaches a point, because the thing with reviews is you're very limited, okay? You're very limited what you can do with the Amazon terms of conditions. So of course, Amazon buying is a must, and I'm sure everybody nowadays know that they must do that from day one. It's a no-brainer. However, we have identified that when there is a breaking point where pricing does some bigger impact than reviews. And I'm going to tell you why. Like, let's say I'm finding a phone case, just to make example easy, right? Let's say the median price of phone cases is $20. And there's a phone case that has 10,000 reviews, right? $20. I come into the market, maybe I have only 30 reviews, but my case is $9.99. or $11.99, and they are very similar. Or mine is better because, again, we also need to consider that the purpose of launching a new product is you're offering something better. Your product is better. It's almost 50% off initially, and you need to do, of course, just for a period, just to spike a conversion and get you position. Most people is going to reach a point like, why would I go with the 20,000, 10,000 reviews when I'm saving almost half of it? And if you do the good job on the list and images that you reflect your product is better, you do one-to-one comparison with the competition, you basically convey the message of why your product is better. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, people nowadays are always looking to save money, especially now. I mean, right now, economically, we know the world is not on a good place. And people saving $8, $9, like, they will definitely dump the 10,000 reviews for that, right? So that's where I feel the breaking point happens. I feel where reviews, of course, become a big thing is that when you cannot anymore afford to have the strategy of very aggressive pricing. And that's why you do this strategy of aggressive pricing to get your position. You need to have something strategized to organically get this within terms of condition. So it could be in the form of, you know, in the inserts. I mean, you need to be very careful, but there is ways completely to do within terms of condition, like offering value to the customer and things like that. So if you use that properly, and on top of that, make sure, because I'm surprised how many people will do audits on a daily basis, and you go on their Amazon account and they're not using the automated button by Amazon to request a review. That's a quick win. That's a no-brainer. Like, make sure from day one you have that. There's so many Chrome extensions out there and which are free. You can just put that every single time an order goes out, you request a review, right? So these are small things that if you combine them together, can definitely make a big impact. Yeah.
I have a question for my listeners. Are you experiencing cash flow challenges with your Amazon business? Well, silly question. Who is not, right? So let me introduce you to Viably, a unique solution tailored for Amazon sellers and e-commerce enterprises. By connecting your Seller Central or Shopify account, you can promptly access funding along with a variety of financial tools, all for a flat fee. It's as simple as that. And for my listeners, they are offering an extra $1,500 in funding for eligible applications. Start your quick and easy application today at runviably.com/legends. And that's runviably.com/legends. So on the price, I want to also make sure that we unpack the part about low price. Yeah. So if you assign a real low price with the hopes to increase it later, that's a no-no, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's why what we do here is we use vouchers for this. We use a big green voucher that says 40% off or $8, $10 off, like very eye-catching. And that usually is much better, because the thing is, I know people also like to do the structure pricing, like you put a price and then you have a sell price. But unfortunately, if you do that for a long period of time, Amazon identifies that your retail price is basically dummy and you're not really following the retail price. And a street true price disappears. So the way to always have the promotion there is with a voucher. And the nice thing with the voucher is basically you're not affecting the history of the retail price, because the retail price stays like $20, and that's $20. It's just that the coupon's been applying at checkout, and that avoids the issue you're mentioning that in the future, if you want to change price, you're not going to lose the buy box. You're not going to use these suppression issues and so on. Yeah.
So the voucher is the same as the coupon, the clip coupon, right?
Yeah, the same, yeah. The reason why I call it voucher is because I used to keep a coupon before, but sometimes the wording, it changes. So yeah, it's coupon voucher is the same thing, yeah.
So there is also the promotions with a code, right? That's different.
That's correct. Yeah, the promotion with the code is basically the way it works is, let's say you have an influencer, right? That's doing a campaign for you. It's doing a social media campaign. You can create a list of coupons, like 10, 20, 30 coupons. These are unique codes, random codes. You can give this list to people, in this case, the influencer, and they can say, oh, to the first 30 followers, I'm going to give this 50% unique coupon, right? And this makes sure that the coupon is redeemed only once, and it's only 30. Sometimes the reason why people do that over the coupon is, first of all, you want to keep it private because you're doing this within a small circle, or you're doing very deep discount, like 60-70%, and you want to keep it just to 20 people because you're doing a giveaway or whatever. So that's usually the difference. And you also have the option, if you wish to do so, to do something called group coupon. Group coupon is like, we can call it Nick 50, and you can put it on the detail page of the product. And then anybody that reads the promotion and use Nick 50 at the checkout will get 50% off on their checkout. The danger with that is, like, if you don't have a limit amount of numbers of how many people can purchase, and I have seen in the past horror stories of people buying all your inventory for 50% off, so you need to be careful.
Yeah. Well, there is another thing. When you are creating, this is for this, you go to advertising, you go to promotions, and the promotions, you create a percent off or whatever off. And when you create a coupon, there is an option. By default, it's checked.
That's right.
And the option says display on product page.
That's a danger, yeah.
Yeah. So you think you're creating this coupon for an influencer, but if you leave that checked and you don't uncheck it yourself, then it's going to show up on the product display page and say, you know, enter, blah, blah. Now, there is another thing that I know, that we have issued promotions with a code, and we have made it public to display on the product detail page. And people would say, oh, there is a special, because there's a dollar sign says special offers, and then you click, and then it means special offers available. Amazon link, and then when you click, it sends you right down and shows all the promotions running, and say, oh, great. And so it's a great encouragement, good for conversion, but there's a percentage of people that forget to enter the code.
Yeah, I know.
So don't be afraid to run a promotion and display it publicly, but don't think that everybody is going to use it. They just don't. Some don't see it, some see it and forget to enter it, and blah, blah.
It happens a ton. Like, we have seen in a report, a spike in impressions and sales and everything, but maybe you see only 20-30% people redeeming the coupon of all the sales that happen. It's just because people forget to click on the box and they just don't apply it. So,
So the next stage is click-through rate. So click-through rate, you can be your own judge by simply comparing your click-through rate on that particular keyword against the one that's achieving the maximum click-through
rate. That's right. So,
you set yourself goals to make sure that you are working towards that. And for that, of course, you take the actions that Vincenzo just mentioned, change the picture, do split testing, use Amazon experiments to test better pictures, use the coupons, and etc. Reviews, don't worry too much about it, just offer a good deal. Okay, now people clicked. The next step is cart ads, right? So
that's right.
How many people are adding to cart after coming to the page? This is not conversion yet. This is just cart ads, because as you know, not every single cart ads become a purchase. I wish they did.
But I wish.
So how can you increase cart ads?
Yeah, that's a good one. Usually we find that add to cart is a good reflection of how good your product page is, because we have identified that if you get good amount of impressions, good amount of clicks, but suddenly in the funnel we see a huge drop on add to cart, that means there is an issue, a fundamental issue on the offer. Because why somebody see the product, they click, they feel excited, and then boom, they go down. There is an issue there on the offer, right? So we need to understand what is happening on the listing and why we're not having those add to cart. Something that we do when we identify this issue, we try to compare also our products to the top competitors in the space. We do what we call also a media comparison. Like, let's say we identify that we have a huge drop of add to cart after the click. We compare 6 images and video, And you can do this. There are tools, for example, such as Helium 10 that allow you to compare all the media in with Listening Analyzer. And we try to understand why our images are not conveying and driving to that add to cart button. So we need to understand if we're not comparing our product properly against the competition, we're missing a key infographic, we're not mentioning a certain amount of ingredients or features. Once we know that images are mint and they're in the right position, we jump into the copy, right? Maybe in the copy we're saying something that's putting people off, right? We had this example that, for example, this lady was selling a type of kits for cheese. And the issue she was having is she was having a drop in conversion because one of the ingredients that she had on the kit, and we identified this later, was basically not allowed for vegan people. People that was vegan couldn't eat this somehow. There was a restriction there. And then basically by identifying this and comparing our cheese against our cheese, after removing this and highlighting this on the pictures, we saw a huge increase on add to cart. So basically, when we were dropping the ball, it was on one of the ingredients that was basically not connecting with those impressions and clicks. They were coming, but then, oh no, that ingredient is not for me. They were dropping. So usually when you see that drop of add to cart, there is something there in the listing that's causing that doubt, because the fact that you have that excitement, people click, that means your main image and pricing is good because they're clicking, but then they're dropping off. Usually something to do with that. And the second thing that people don't do a lot and we do, that's usually improves the add to carts, defensive campaigns on your listings. So a ton of time, the reason why you're losing a lot of add to carts is because you don't realize that your competitors are targeting you with sponsored display. That means under the buy box, there's a competitor ad showing there that you can do with sponsor display. That they are targeting you with that, or they're doing very aggressive sponsor products at the bottom. Sometimes at the top, there's some sponsor brands that could appear from competitors. If you go on your main page right now and you identify that a lot of your competitors are taking those spots, that's already one answer about why you're losing add to cart, because people were interested in your product in the first place. Impressions are up, clicks are up. They go inside and add to carts are down. That means somebody is saying, come to me within your product details pages, and you need to fix that. How you fix it? You do pro defensive campaigns. You target your own listing so you remove that competition from the product details pages, and usually they also allow you to improve the add to cart, because, I mean, it's simple. If you're a consumer and you're shopping for a product and then I go on the product details pages and your competitor is showing me his product under the buy box with a sponsor display, his product is maybe $1, $2 cheaper, and it reviews are similar, just because of that dollar difference, I could jump. And once I am in his page, if he's doing a very good job with ads, then you lost one customer. So
how do you run that pro defensive campaign?
So the limitation with a defensive campaign is that you need to have a catalog, because if you only have an async, then you don't have enough asins to basically occupy all the placements, right? So usually, I would say for brands that have a minimum of 10 to 15 SKUs, then this strategy would perfectly work. That's enough SKUs to basically occupy as many placements as possible. But if, for example, you're only selling, I don't know, your hero product is a backpack and that's your only product, you're going to struggle because you don't have other backpacks, unless the strategy you could do, you have other colors, and basically you target with different colors, your other colors, and basically try to captivate those placements. Yeah. So that's the limitation. Yeah.
So essentially, you're spending advertising dollars, advertising your own ASINs under your target.
Yeah, to make sure the competitors are not there stealing, because you made so much effort bringing the traffic, people landing on your list, and then you're losing them because a competitor is advertising under your list.
Yeah, and don't expect too much from those advertising dollars, though, when you...
Yeah, well, it depends. You'll be surprised, because I have a brand that we manage that is like a supplements, and these kind of supplements that they sell, they go very side to side in terms of one does and the other one does. So basically, in this case, the strategy actually improved their sales, because let's say they were selling vitamin C. Oh, I actually also need vitamin D. I need magnesium. I need this. And if you keep advertising your whole listings over and over, you create a strategy called the brand halo effect, which is basically you keep them in the same loop, and they don't even come across other brands, and they always shop from you because you keep them running and running in terms of your own brand, because all the placements are yours. So that's the thought process. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Amazon does provide the top impression share and the top click share, but they don't really show you the top cart ad rate.
Yeah.
So what is a reasonable number to expect?
Yeah, so the add to cart, I mean, I would say a good conversion add to cart on a healthy keyword, it could be around the 15-20% mark. Like 15-20% mark is very good add to cart standard. Again, it's also going to depend on the product, because let's say I take the example of a product such as, let me think, a product that people will compare a lot. Yeah, a phone case is a good example. Like when people shopping for phone cases, and I do this all the time, when a new phone comes up and I want to buy a phone case, what is the first thing I do? I add a ton of phone cases to my add to cart, right? Then I check the prices, and then based on the design, I make the decision, right? So in categories like that, add to cart is very high because a lot of people add to cart, but when it comes to the purchase, it's very low. Right. So that's completely different scenario than maybe other cases where people add to cart and make a purchase, such as, I don't know, let's say you want to buy a water bottle, something that's very cheap. Usually you add to cart and you buy, right? So that's why you need to be mindful, because I wouldn't say it's a one-to-one comparison. It's also going to come down to the type of product. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the sad reality is there isn't much you can do to influence, you know, add to cart to purchase. It's just the nature of the beast, right?
Yeah. So the thing that you can do, and this is something that actually Amazon just released, okay? So if you go, for example, to your Amazon account, right? And then within your Amazon account, there's a new thing that basically allow you to interact with your customer. You're going to go to brand, and then you're going to go to something called customer engagement. Yeah, brand, and then you go to customer engagement. This thing basically is not something that is available to all brands. So it's something more in beta right now. But basically what you can do with this, it now allows you to retarget add to carts. So basically Amazon tells you, okay, you have 10,000 people that are on their add to cart, right? With this, basically 10,000 people that are in add to cart, like I want to target them with a 10% coupon, right? And basically you could retarget them, and then that could potentially lift the purchases, because basically Amazon is allowing you to retarget with a coupon. It could be 10, 50%. Usually we do like a 15, 20%. And you can retarget them. And basically, once you retarget them, it allows you to basically convert people that just have the product sitting there. Basically, they have it seated on their abandoned cards. And basically, you can convert them. Just to clarify, I just check this to make sure you find it. You're going to go to advertising, and then you're going to go to brand tailor promotion. That's where the promotion is going to be. Amazon allows you to now retarget people that has abandoned cards. It tells you how many people add the product to cart hasn't purchased, potential new customers, repeated customers, and all different segmentations they do. But the one you want to leverage, going back to Nick's question, is the card abandoned purchases. For example, I had a client that he had, I mean, this was crazy. He had around like 30,000 abandoned cards, right? 30,000 abandoned cards in the last 90 days. What we did is we say, okay, let's blast a 15% coupon across the board, 30,000. Out of these 30,000, around 10% converted, 8-10%, so around 3,000 people. Imagine having 3,000 sales out of nowhere just because you're basically retargeting with a coupon, right? So that's something you can do to affect the abandoned cart, because now Amazon, with this new feature called the tailored promotions within the advertising tab, allow you to retarget abandoned carts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a great tip, Vincenzo, because I did not know this, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's relatively new.
With Amazon, you never know everything, so it's impossible. And as we are talking, I'm looking at it that you have two different ways to target these people who add to their, you have either just solely people who add to their cart, and then also you have another campaign type that says, so anybody who clicked on your storefront, clicked on your listing, added to cart,
you can go so deep.
And you can also go back to them with a promotion. This is a great tip, and it's a must. So I was thinking always, how do you do this? But you have to qualify. You know, you have to qualify. They have many other campaigns. We're not going to get into it now.
Yeah, of course.
May be well worth just another episode, how to use the tailored campaigns. But it's a great tip. So that's how you improve your add to cart to purchase rate, because that's the next stage, right? So add to cart, that becomes a purchase. So you are not able to see those rates from the highest performers, but what you can see is when you click on the keyword, then it shows you all the other listings
that
come up under that keyword.
That's correct.
And then you can see their price, you can see everything.
The average, so and you can see the average.
It's extremely valuable. So this is a great piece of information. And you know, first of all, you and I can go on forever. And second, performance, it never ends. And by the way, we haven't even started on combining search term impression share report. Do you combine that report with this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you combine it with this, you can even combine it with data from other tools as well, and interpolate and make a decision. Like this could go as complicated as you want. Like this is just the beginning, and you can go very complex. And at the end of the day, the more complex you go, you find very unique insights that can give you the edge on Amazon. So I will say, you know, spend some time with the search query performance, because you'll be surprised about how many things. I mean, we use it for listing optimization, we use it for PPC optimization, we use it for product launch, we use it for understanding how good our images are converting, because we compare 1 week after changing name to the next week. I mean, there are so many things you can do, and I feel people just, you know, it's not utilizing the tool properly. So spend some time, because it can completely change your business. I mean, it's doing for a client, so definitely you should do the same.
Well, great conversation. So now we've come to my favorite part of the show, where we get to know you, other than being a rocket scientist. So, you know, I already, when I introduced you, I said born in Naples, Italy, and then Venezuela. You grew up in Venezuela, right?
That's right.
So what I want to know is, how does a family, not just one person, become entrepreneurial in a country like Venezuela?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it all started because, you know, my uncle was the first one, actually my grandfather was the first one to leave Italy to Venezuela. And this was because after the Second World War, Italy was on a difficult spot. Like, there was a lot of inflation, there wasn't any jobs, and you know, the whole situation. So people started to hear about this promised land, Venezuela. And Venezuela in the 70s, 80s, and 90s was a big boom because of the petrol, right? Venezuela just started exploding the petrol, and basically they discovered that had the bigger reserves in the world. A lot of investment came from overseas, and basically was a point that the Venezuelan currency was even had a bigger value than the US dollar. So yeah, it was a big boom, and it was a lot of jobs because of all these multinational companies coming to Venezuela, putting their headquarters in there. So that's why we say, okay, let's do this bet and let's give it a try. And yes, I mean, I remember when we went there, like everybody was, you know, very open to the business. Was very easy to find funding. At that time, it was easy to set up a company. So, you know, we basically took a jump of faith towards, you know, giving a try. And it was thankfully successful back at the time. And then, you know, unfortunately, the situation happened that we know what happens in Venezuela. And that's why I had to leave. But during those times, it was a very good country to live. I mean, the The weather there is amazing. The food, the people is hopefully one day we're back. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. How does a kid in an entrepreneurial family become interested in becoming a rocket star? Why not business?
Yeah. So the thing is, since I've been a child, I'm being always a very curious kid in the sense that, and I was a typical kid that was taking toys apart to understand how they were working. I was always watching everything around space. And then I started to get some kind of a passion about going to space and everything. In fact, one of my main goals was to be an astronaut, not aerospace. The thing aerospace came as a backup because I found out the astronaut was actually, it's a cool job, but it's also a very, it's a difficult life to be an astronaut. So I say, okay, let's be an aerospace. I'm still going to be involved with space and all of that. But yes, the reason why I went into that is because, I don't know, from the very beginning, I'm a very technical person. I love engineering, physics, and all of that. But the thing that turned me off, unfortunately, which I didn't know when I was a child and when I was studying, is the reality of being an engineer. It's like, you don't, let's be honest, nowadays, you don't make as much money as we used to engineers when I was a child. It's not anymore as the dream job as people picture in the 90s and so on. So I feel that that is the thing. I started working, then I realized, oh, I'm not making as much money as I wanted. I don't have the freedom that my family had. I cannot travel as I wanted to. So I love engineering, but you know what? I'm first going to make the money. Once I have the money, then I do Elon Musk style. I do a SpaceX or whatever I see. But right? I first got to make the money before I do that, you know? So, yeah.
So money was the one that kind
and
of...
time. And time as well. Like location restriction and all of that. That was a big thing for me, yeah.
So when you started your entrepreneurial adventure, so to speak, which country were you in at the time?
In the UK, yeah. I remember when I started my entrepreneur path, I was working as an engineer for Rolls Royce. And then basically the e-commerce side of things as a seller exploded. And basically that started to be better, gain more income than as an engineer. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. Worst case scenario, I have my title. I have my experience with Rolls Royce, which is one of the top companies in the space. Like taking 1 year break is not going to be the year end of the war. I'm young, so if I don't do it now, when I'm going to do it, right? So I did it, and yeah, not looking back. So, and that's it.
Well, yeah. You know, so this is another tagline for you.
Yeah.
You deliver service at Rolls-Royce standard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And they're very picky. I can tell you this. They're very picky, yeah. As a company, yeah.
yeah. It's good. So, well, I mean, you've had quite a journey. I've been around myself living in different countries, and it's definitely, it tests someone's character, especially, you know, Venezuela, Italy, these are warm cultures, right? And then suddenly you end up in the UK. It's a totally different... totally different lifestyle, and it really tests someone's character, and it molds you into shape to be resilient.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was difficult for sure. Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all about, that's part of the entrepreneurship life. You need to pivot and adapt, and I guess that's part of the journey. You know, is nothing's gonna be perfect, and every single day, life is gonna throw things at you, and it's all about waking up and keep pushing. You know, so.
So that's the ultimate conclusion, though, in terms of how engineering connects to entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurs are constantly finding solutions
that's
to
right.
problems, pivoting. That's what it is. So, and engineers, that's all they do.
Yes.
I mean, there is a reason why there is a phrase called engineering a solution, right? Because it's only engineers that does this. So, you know, I'm an engineer by training, and it's the perfect fit for being an entrepreneur, especially technology. So definitely you are in the right place. And I think your family was right. So maybe
I hope so.
It was a good thing that the system changed in Venezuela, yeah, so that somebody like you, the Western world, could gain as an asset.
Yeah, that's all what life is about, it, like perception. Like what you just say, you're spot on. Like maybe we think about the negative side of living in Venezuela and all of that, but at the end of the day, is what you just say. It's like, you know, now I'm providing value to a different community, different businesses, and it all happened because of a reason. Like, if you see that and change your perception of things, like, you can appreciate things and be more grateful. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are many, especially recently, I heard at least two good stories about the message that there is a good in every bad and there is a bad in every good. So always right. Look on the bright side, as Monty Python, you know, the old British.
Yeah.
Always look on the bright side of life. And at the same time, when something good happens, you know, not necessarily 100%. There is something there that you want to be prepared for. Well, great conversation. So tell us, how can people reach the rocket scientists to get Rolls-Royce standard service? Give us your contact.
Yeah, so if you want to get to the moon, basically you can find me as Vincenzo Toscano in all the social media platforms. And for the agency ECOMSI, just go to www.ecomsi.com. More than happy, you know, we offer usually free consultations and, you know, feel free to reach out. Always happy to help where possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can tell you he's extremely friendly. And as you just noticed, sharing a lot of knowledge. Is second nature. So thank you for being here, Vincenzo.
Thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Before I go, a quick reminder to say goodbye to your cash flow problems and claim your extra $1,500 when you qualify for $25,000 or more in funding. Go to www.runviably.com/legends and start your application today. Thank you, and this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you on the next one.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the episode, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it too.